The Lord be with you. Let us pray. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Thank you, God, for the rhythms of life. Thank you for the blessings that accompany the tugs and the pulls that seem to come from every direction. Thank you for those things that seem ordinary and for those things that seem extraordinary. Thank you for the constant, and thank you for the change. Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn number 681, 681, verses 1 and 3. A reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Good morning, welcome. My name is Nathan Soland. I graduated from St. Olaf in 2004, started working in the alumni office a week later, and for the last 8+ years have daily been a part of this community. In less than 2 weeks, I will leave this role and the comfort of this hill to take on a new job at Target Corporation downtown Minneapolis. Indeed, in everything there is a season. And for me, it's now the season of saying thank you. For those of you who know me, you know that I daily work to connect alumni and parents to this institution. You know me as that guy that keeps sending emails, trying to get you to show up at events. You know me as an event planner and a volunteer manager. However, upon reflecting on my last 12 years here, I still think of myself as that shy, pimple-faced, awkward 18-year-old moving into Hoyme Hall in the fall of 2000. I remember the day really well. My family woke up super early, packed ourselves into several cars, and made the 4-hour trip from Otter Tail County to Northfield. I was so nervous. I was leaving the security and the familiarity and comfort of home and was entering into the unknowns of college life. The feelings I had in entering this community now I rise again as I think about leaving it. For me, college wasn't always a given. None of my grandparents, parents, or family members had ever attended college, let alone a private liberal arts college in southern Minnesota. To St. Olaf, I was a first-generation student. To my family, I was the one who chose to leave. Recently, Biddy Martin, the president of Amherst College, spoke on the Freakonomics public radio show about whether college was worth it or not. There, she told the story of leaving her rural Virginia home, knowing the fears her parents had of her attaining a college education. They feared she would learn to speak differently, never return home. They feared that she would learn new things and become a different person. At the time, she dismissed such ideas as crazy fears from parents who just didn't understand. However, upon reflecting on her experience, her parents' fears were somewhat well-founded. She never did return home. She did learn to speak differently. She did learn new things. She did turn away from certain beliefs her family shared, and what she called it was transformation. She said, "It's impossible to learn a completely different way of thinking about things without unlearning what one has already learned." And I think it's important to realize that, because it's often the case now that people think about education as the acquisition of new things, as if it were an unproblematic and promising process simply of adding to what one already knows. And the truth is, it's transformative. And that means upending a whole set of assumptions about how to see things, what's possible, and what's real. And that's the story I want to tell you today. The story of transformation, the moments when I unlearned and relearned and acquired new knowledge, moments for me of thankfulness. My first year writing seminar was called The Reinvention of Slavery, a course where Professor of English Carol Holly led a group of 15 first-year students through several pieces of fiction and slave narrative. We read the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass, the confessions of Nat Turner and Toni Morrison's Beloved. For most of us, the literature was very new. This wasn't our regular high school reading. For all of us, the discussion that surrounded those pieces of literature set a foundation, really, for the rest of our lives. This course was held at 2 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday in a fourth-floor English classroom in Rolvag. Many times I remember being engaged in conversation close to 3:30. No one wanted to leave. No one wanted to stop listening and engaging and sharing. In very open and honest ways, Professor Holly helped a group of 18-year-olds think introspectively about big ideas: privilege, morality, racism, hatred, hope, love, and ultimately resilience. There I was, this rural kid from northern Minnesota, who had never known more than two people of color in my life. And I was sitting in a classroom with peers from all across the country, some white, some black, discussing hard truths about our nation's history. Sure, I'd studied slavery before and the ramifications of it, but I had never actually put myself in that equation. I had never allowed myself to be that vulnerable. And because of masterful discussion leading, Professor Holly helped a group of bright-eyed students understand the power of conversation and compassion. Now, 12 years later, I use what I learned in that classroom every day. I learned that my voice isn't as powerful as listening, that engaging with people with different viewpoints and ideas always helps me broaden my perspective, and that a conversation that's meant to take just 20 minutes sometimes needs a good 2 hours. Thank you, Carol Holly, for helping transform me. In Virgis, Minnesota, there are three options for church: one Methodist and two Missouri Synod Lutheran churches. My family was very involved in one of the Lutheran churches. My mom was superintendent of their Sunday school. My grandmother played the organ and piano. My brothers were involved with the Active Christian Teens program. Being a Lutheran was a part of our identity. And by choosing St. Olaf, my parents were very thankful that I could grow in my Lutheran faith. However, when my mom saw the itinerary for global semester, she noticed that we'd be taking a course on world religions in India. This scared her. What if I returned home, believing brand new things she didn't really raise me to believe? Bill Carlson, faculty emeritus of economics department, and his wife, Shar Carlson, started our global semester by asking us to do one simple task every day: observe. They called it a fancy economics-like term, casual empiricism. But for us 26 travelers, we just simply kept our eyes open. And oh, what we took in. We woke early in Egypt, sun rising all around us as the pyramids of Giza came into focus. We stood in the center of the Hagia Sophia in Turkey, taking in the iconic symbols of both Christianity and Islam. We witnessed poverty at its worst and really humanity at its best. But some of the sights I remember most vividly were those moments in holy places. I remember sitting on a cold marble floor at the feet of Sai Baba, an Indian guru who espoused mystical powers. I remember visiting a Hindu temple in India, amazed at the shrine set up to gods I had never heard of, Ganesh and Shiva and Vishnu. I remember climbing a mountain in China to find there nestled in the rock this very simple and amazing monastery. In all these observations, I kept thinking back to my little home Lutheran church in Virgis. It's what I knew, it's what I believed, but it's also what I was expected to know and to believe. Bill and Char Carlson helped us dive into these new religions. They asked us to look and observe and take part in order to better understand others' beliefs, and in the end, strengthen our own. They taught me many indelible lessons, but this one stands out today. Inherited faith feels far less powerful than faith that has been questioned. 12 years later, I still find myself on an ongoing spiritual journey. This place, Bow Chapel, continues to be my rock and my place of contemplation and peace. All the lessons I learned on Global Semester, both in holy places and in the classroom and from the wise words of our advisors, they guide me in my firm foundation of empathy and inclusion and openness. Thank you, Bill and Char Carlson, for helping transform me. I don't remember the first time I met John Rondesvet, but I'll know I'll never forget him. John is a class of 61 alum who retired from teaching in the Robbinsdale School District to Northfield, where he now lives with his wife, Jay. Now, in my role as alumni director, it's important to guide our alumni base along with the progress of the college. At the same time, this role kind of demands the person to be a keeper of tradition. I learned how to do this from John. To know John is to know St. Olaf. He is often on campus, known to be a regular researcher in the archives, attendee at athletic and musical events, and enthusiastic supporter of the college. Our paths often crossed. He led his 50th reunion publicity committee, he's a regular class fundraising volunteer, and he is a constant advocate of tradition, capital T. At the same time, John is a lover of knowledge, of truth, and of forward thinking. It's not uncommon for him to share readings and poems and anecdotes from his scholarly study. In one breath, he talks about his grandparents, who were some of the first students here on this hill, and then his grandkids, who are now college-aged, getting the opportunity to learn, unlearn, and understand what's possible with their lives. In a conversation that John's probably long forgotten, we spoke about how important it is to give students, especially those students who lack financial means, a path to education. And in that moment, I recognized that John's fascination with tradition and with history and the gaining of knowledge simply serves as a foundation for his real work, giving others the opportunity for education, the opportunity for knowledge, the opportunity for transformation. To me, John and all his volunteer work and generous giving to the college represents all those donors, volunteers, alumni, parents, and friends of the college who built this place to be exactly what it purports to be, a college that can change your life. Thank you, John, for allowing me and so many others the opportunity for transformation. To be a part of the St. Olaf community is a wonderful gift, one that wouldn't have been possible without the guidance of mentors, the generous gifts of donors, or the courage of a family back in northern Minnesota. As each of us goes through our day today, this week, this month, this year, I encourage you to think through your moments of transformation, those moments when you unlearned what you thought was right, those moments where you stood in awe at a new realization, those moments when the conversation kept going and going, not because it was laborious, but because it ignited your passions and your beliefs and yourselves. Those moments are certainly there, and when you recognize them and see them and feel them, give thanks to God for those moments and for the community here at St. Olaf that gave them life.
Now may our God, whose grace and mercy are constant, accompany you through all of life's seasons, today and always. Amen.